Doctor, my sister has cancer.
Zombie cancer?
Yeah!
Zombie, oh my god. It's time for episode number 12 of Just Nerd Stuff, and we are your hosts, Corey,
Kurt,
John C.
Today's spoiler review is Arnold Schwarzenegger's Maggie. It's Arnold versus the zombies, but not the way you might think. And in the news, will there be a sequel on the horizon for a classic animated film? Vin Diesel thinks so. Hi, everyone. Hey, thank you all for tuning in today and downloading our podcast. So, first of all, we're going to apologize right away. We had a technical difficulty yesterday, and we couldn't get the episode to you. We're really, really sorry.
We're very, very sorry.
We know you woke up Monday morning and you were like, I have to listen to those nerds this morning. I'm going to get my cup of coffee, and I'm going to download their podcast. And we didn't deliver. We have failed you.
We feel very disheartened.
And I'm sure
in pain.
And I'm sure in the future we might have moments like this again where we may delay for whatever reason. But
that's why we're here today.
Exactly. We are here to give you nerdiness.
In its prime.
So yeah, Jacob is also not here again today. Not because of the dentist or anything, but he's not answering our calls.
So we have no clue where he is.
Yeah. We did record last night with the technical difficulties, and we didn't realize we had difficulties until after we finished. So we have some clips for you. We are going to play a little bit from yesterday, but we agreed we'd be here tonight, and now he's not answering. So for whatever reason, he's not here. So again, the Kohler brothers are here to give you the nerdiness.
Oh, yeah.
In its best. So let's get right into it. Let's get into the look. It's a thing. And our look at the thing, which is what we will be playing from yesterday, because what it is, we taste tested a beer called the Wilhelm Scream. And in case
it's from Magic Hat.
And in case you did not know what a Wilhelm Scream is in the nerd world, this is what it sounds like. Which is probably the scream you've heard in many countless number of movies.
Oh, of course.
Not just in nerdiness, but it's one of the sound effects that is in the stock of like sound effects.
Of just Hollywood.
And, yeah, all around.
All around.
And so Magic Hat made a beer, a harvest beer, called Wilhelm Scream Pumpkin Ale.
Yep.
And, you know, pumpkin is an acquired taste, and I'll be saying that again in the clip we're going to play.
I'll be honest, I was not a fan of it at all.
Yeah.
But then again, I just don't like pumpkin beer.
So what we're going to play for you is Jacob and I mostly more or less praising it, but these are our first thoughts. It was our first taste test of it. We want it to be genuine for you guys listening. So this was our taste test. Let's take a listen.
I do like some Magic Hats, but I don't know. I don't know about pumpkin.
Pumpkin
nope.
Ale.
Nope.
That's okay. I'll drink it off you. This is a... Yeah.
I do not like pumpkin beer.
Pumpkin is a... It's an acquired taste, I think.
I don't know. I used to eat pumpkins when I was a little kid.
I like pumpkin pie.
I'm just kidding.
Like pumpkin creamer.
I never ate pumpkins.
I'm like your average white girl.
I mean, I do love pumpkin pie. It is awesome. And I like to eat the pumpkin seeds.
I like pumpkin bread.
Have you ever eaten pumpkin seeds?
No.
You literally take the seeds out and you put them in. You put a bunch of. You let them dry. You clean them off. And then you put them on a tray and stick them in the oven and put a bunch of salt on them.
Mmm.
And you eat them and they actually taste good.
See, I don't like actual, like, raw pumpkin or anything like that. I like having...
No, who has eaten raw pumpkin? Have you... If anybody that's listening has eaten raw pumpkin, please comment, because I would like to know who has eaten raw pumpkin, because I've thought about it, because it kind of reminds me of a cantaloupe, like, when you look on the inside.
Like, is it good without seasoning or anything? Like, that's what we're wondering. I don't know.
Do people actually eat pumpkin? Okay, I don't think so, but I would like to know if other people have eaten pumpkin.
Yeah.
So I think go ahead and try this beer if you like pumpkin flavored stuff, because it's a very mild tasting beer. It's not very it's not like hoppy or very bitter. It's not definitely not like an IPA. So like if you're into like just regular ale, you know, like I don't drink a lot of ale, so I'm not going to try to list any off.
Yeah.
But it's very mild.
I'm not even big on ales.
It's really easy to drink.
Yeah. I think that's why I'm okay with this,
that's
because
the
like ales and IPAs, I'm not a big fan of drinking. I do like Dogfish Head 60 Minute. That's very good
IPA.
I don't like IPAs. I like Dogfish Head.
Yikes. It says the call for fall, so this is supposed to be the new fall beer by Magic Hat. And if you guys are wondering, alcohol percentage is 5.4, which is a little bit above average, but still not too heavy.
Kurt, you don't want your beer?
I'm used to drinking Steel Reserve, which is like 8.1, so. Yeah. But
this could make you scream.
I don't know. It doesn't really even taste too much like pumpkin. Like,
nah.
I feel like if it was like pumpkin spice, like if it had a
little,
you know,
no,
like
there's
the
no
coffee,
real kick.
It's not, doesn't, it's very.
It's got mildness.
So why aren't we drinking pumpkin spice lattes and being basic
bitches.
I wouldn't mind going for another one.
I still didn't like it.
It wasn't,
really
it wasn't that bad. It was tasty. It was a smooth, smooth drink.
It was a good ale. It's just the pumpkin overpowered it for me. I mean, it wasn't overpowering at the same time. It was just like, I just don't like the taste of pumpkin, I guess.
Yeah, like I'm like your average white girl.
Yeah.
I really am. I like all the pumpkin
I'm
stuff.
I'm surprised you haven't bought us a pumpkin spice latte yet.
I love pumpkin spice lattes. I just haven't gone out there yet. I'm still riding my bike. I don't have a car yet to go to like Panera Bread or stuff.
I feel like we need a cricket sound right here for my expression.
And including sound now.
Okay. So,
let's get on with the show. We're going to start with a new segment since the movies, summer movie season's kind of coming to a close. We're still going to review some movies coming up. But it's now fall TV season, so we're going to start our segment Last Week on TV. So the Last Week on TV segment is, we got the fall TV season coming up, and we're going to be discussing all the pilots coming out, if there's an episode of a television show that we want to highlight, like a new villain of The Flash or something or whatnot, we'll be here to discuss it on this segment. So for last week, the Fear the Walking Dead pilot happened, and it was a bit of a mess.
A mess?
Yes.
It was more than a mess, Corey.
It's another travesty.
That episode was complete and utter crap.
Yeah. It was very, very boring, unfortunately. Okay, this is the way I put it. The first half was really boring, and then the second half was, like, starting to pick up a little bit, and then it just wasn't... Nothing spoke to me. Nothing spoke to me about that pilot. Nothing jumped out at me, and I'm not even talking about the zombies. I'm talking about the people. The people, the characters that run the show, nothing spoke to me. I was not interested. They were very cookie-cutter characters.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want me to go on my rant now?
Ladies and gentlemen, Kurt's rant about Fear the Walking Dead. We've been preparing for this all night. Go!
Okay. This show... Okay. I can't say the show. I'll just say the pilot, because that's all we've seen. So, this pilot was utter crap! Okay, one, you got, like, this druggy, boring, stupid, annoying character as the main person, and you're following his story on, like, he saw a zombie and he didn't know what he believed, and he was, like, a druggie, so he thought he got stuff that was laced and stuff. But, like, seriously, like, he's so unappealing, I wanted to just kill him. Like, I wanted him
to be... You
wanted
to jump into the
screen. I wanted him to be eaten right there and then immediately when he saw the first zombie. Like, I just wanted him dead. Like,
yeah.
It would have made the story so much better because then the family is trying to figure out what happened to him. And then they find him dead and they're like, oh, my God. But, like, seriously, I wanted him dead so bad. And plus, oh, my God, the mother? She was such a stuck-up mess of words. Like, I just hated her. Okay? Like, she literally... denied the fact, okay, because this stepfather, the other main guy, like, he was going on about, like, well, he could have actually saw something, like, we don't know if it's true, and it's like, he said he saw something, like, all this blood and everything at the church, and then he's like, I actually went to see it, and I saw the blood, it looked like something really bad happened here, And then she's like, yeah, but there's shootings and stabbings all the time, like, when it comes to drugs. And then she goes there, and then she's like, wow, something bad really happened here. It's like, what the hell? It's like, make up your mind, woman. And then, okay. And plus, like, his friend was, like, his dealer, and he tried to kill him. And, like, okay, that guy, I can understand, like, dealers do, like,
Very shady things.
Yeah, like, I can understand the situation where he probably thought he was talking to, like, the cops and everything, so he would want to kill
him. Right, it makes sense.
It makes sense. But at least he's known him for years as a friend, so I doubt he would immediately assume just to kill him.
Yeah.
Like, I think he would give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, at least. Because, like, he wanted to know, or even this character who's so freaking dumb and a druggie, like, he could have actually explained it. Like, sat down and go, okay, here's what happened.
Right.
Like, and he just explains everything.
He was just freaking out.
Yeah, he was freaking out. So, like, obviously the guy's gonna be like, oh, he totally snitched on me, I'm gonna kill this kid.
Yeah.
Like, he set himself up for it. Like, you expect what's going to happen. Like, the entire time, like, when he's like, don't worry, I'll take care of you, man. I'm like, he's going to kill him. Like, I just knew right there.
I think everybody knew.
Like, everybody knew. You expected. The show was so expected. And then the show was boring.
Yeah.
Like, every single moment was boring. There was no buildup.
Everything that was in that pilot could have been shortened down to easily a half hour, in my opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get the show as a slow build. And I get that they're trying to do a prequel. They're trying to do something different from the actual Walking Dead show. And unfortunately, for being the pilot, it's going to be compared to the original Walking Dead pilot, which the original Walking Dead pilot is fantastic.
Okay, compared to the Walking Dead, this crap is crap.
Yes, crap with a capital C and a capital P.
Exactly.
Crap.
No, a capital C-R-A-P, crap.
I'm very proud. P-R-O-D, proud.
Exactly. I was expecting to actually screw up spelling it, but
a little
anyway.
Bit of Who's Line humor there.
But no,
continue on.
But seriously, like, this episode was just pure boring crap.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this is the kind of show that you would expect from, like, Lifetime or Sci-Fi, really.
Like, something very dramatic.
Like, you're expecting it to be good because it's made by the creators of The Walking Dead. But literally this whole episode felt like it was written and directed by a fanboy, like,
yes,
who has a very basic knowledge of directing and writing, like, screenplay, yeah, writing. Because, like, all the suspense scenes where you think something's gonna happen and it doesn't, you expect it not to happen.
Right, like the moment where,
like, you know it's,
yeah, she goes in to see the principal of,
yeah,
the school.
Yeah,
and I was like, there's no way that he is a zombie
It would not make sense.
No way.
He would have to die in some way. And why would he die? He's a principal of a school.
The, like, suspense buildup was such a falsified, tense moment.
Yeah. And honestly, I was just like, he's not a zombie. We know he's not a zombie. And then he turns around and he's like, what's the problem? And you're like, I knew it!
Yeah.
Like, you knew. Like, because
it was very predictable.
The whole entire episode was predictable. Like, they had no shock factor. They had nothing to go off of. And it was just complete crap because this show is a cash cow. Like,
yeah,
the entire essence of this show is a cash cow. They just want to bank on the name of The Walking Dead. That's all they want to do with this.
Yeah. And it, like I was saying before, like, companion chronicle shows and movies are kind of the thing that's in now. And I'm understanding if you have a companion story such as Star Wars Rogue One.
Yeah.
And in the anthology. With those, their intent is to tell a story that you did not know about. That would be interesting.
But this is not interesting.
So far, there is nothing to tell us that this is something interesting or original. This is a lot of the same. And until they give us something by being a prequel, they have to lead us into something that is just, okay, there's no way that would be on the original show of The Walking Dead. This has its own identity, but it doesn't. It doesn't show that at all through the pilot.
Plus, there's a moment in the episode where the main girl, like the teenage girl, is going to meet her boyfriend at the beach. And, like, she's texting him saying, hey, where are you? I'm here. It's like, you better be dead. And you know what? Once I saw that on her phone, it said, you better be dead. I'm like, dude, he's totally dead.
Either that or he's, like, caught up with zombies.
Exactly. I seriously think he actually became a zombie.
He may have.
Yeah, because...
But when even if they were using that as a tactic for you to keep watching, it didn't work for me.
It didn't. Seriously, there was no reason. Like, oh, I would have expected, like, if they wanted to do it good right there, like that scene where she's standing there at the beach and she's like, "Where are you? You better be dead." Like, it pans over, like you see from his point of view with the phone or something. Say it's like ringing in his pants and he's running from zombies.
Yeah,
that would be such a good moment. And just for a brief second, that's all you need. Like, he's running down the street and there's zombies chasing him. If you did something like that, I'd be like, "Oh my god!"
It's like this actually had,
like, it would be good.
Yeah, like the slow build approach, I understand. Like I said before, being the prequel, I understand, but you need to have better writing than this. And being that it's based off the comics, this is its own original story, companion story to it. And because of that, like Kurt said, it is, it's a cash cow. That's it, all it is.
Okay, because this show has nothing to do with the comics other than the fact it's the name Walking Dead. It was never written in the comics. This is a completely made-up story for it. Like,
now, Robert Kirkman and all them, they are all involved with it.
Yes.
Charlie Allard, Adlin?
I forget, honestly.
Addition, subtraction.
Attaker or Ackerman?
Charlie Ackles.
Yeah, Charlie Ackles.
Charlie Waffles.
Jensen Ackles.
You remember Charlie Waffles? Two and a Half Men?
No. Remember
his last name was Waffles? He's like, "Why waffles? Kids love waffles." And then his brother's son's like, "It's true."
But seriously, this episode, like, okay, and I'm a huge fan of The Walking Dead. I've read some of the comics. I have actually seen the show. I watched the show. And this, from a Walking Dead fan, is complete crap. And that's another thing that I want to mention. I checked on IMDb. This show on IMDb got an 8 out of 10.
There's no way.
There's no way. Because I actually looked through the reviews. I looked through the reviews. Because
I saw you out there. I saw what you wrote.
I saw you.
Seriously, you think I wasn't watching, but I was
seriously,
watching.
Seriously, the reviews were like 1 out of 10 or 2 out of 10. There was like 1 4 out of 10 that was like, "I'm hoping that it might get good, but I'm not giving it a good rating
yet." I think that's everybody right now. We're hoping it turns into something
special. As of right now, we're just like, this is complete crap as of right now.
Yeah.
So that's why if I had to rate it, it would be a 1 out of 10 or a 1.5 out of 10. I give it a 1.5 out of 10 because it's actually The Walking Dead. That's it.
They made an effort. I'd give it like a 4 or a 5 because the tone is fine. The tone's fine. I'm giving it
a
little
more. There is no tone.
Yes, it's the same.
It's a drama. It's literally like a Lifetime episode with zombies.
But the same suspenseful tone. I'm not saying that the episode itself was suspenseful, but the tone was still there from the other show. Don't give me that face. You know what I mean.
I was not scared. I did not have that, "Oh my God, they're going to die."
Well, that's because you're going with the characters in the moment, and they're the ones that are, they're like, "Wait, what's going on?" Even though we know what it is.
I will say the very end of the episode was the only good thing.
And even, like, that wasn't that good.
And it wasn't. It just showed that for the first time, they ran over a kid and he didn't die. And they ran over him twice. And they're like, "Oh my God, what's going on?"
Yeah.
Like, and that's another thing that we talked about it before, where it's like, do they not know what a zombie is?
Yeah.
Because seriously, the mass populace, I guarantee, if you go to any person in the entire world, there is nobody on this earth who doesn't know what a zombie is.
Oh, yeah, and we discussed this before, how zombie has been redefined, and you said how most shows are, like, avoiding saying the word zombie.
Yeah, they do not call them zombies. They call them, like, walkers, or they'll say the dead or the undead. But they never say zombie.
It's like all these shows are trying to get their own identity from calling it something different than
zombie.
But
then again, at the same time, the name zombie refers to something coming out of the ground, like the dead coming out of the ground and rising to life. So I can kind of get the sense. But seriously, like, I'm still waiting for the day that a TV show or a movie has a kid, like, go, "I've been waiting for this day my entire life. Like, I've been playing Call of Duty Zombies for the past, like, couple years.
I am ready to go.
I am ready." Like, he just grabs whatever's right next to him. It could be a freaking lamp, and he knows exactly how to use it to beat a zombie. And, like all these people, like, adults are just like, "What do we do?" And he goes, "Go for the head." Seriously, like, because kids today, we know how to fight a zombie. I mean, we talked about that with the CDC.
Yeah.
The CDC actually has a whole thing prepared for people. Like, not many people even know that.
Yeah.
They have an actual website devoted to preparing for a zombie apocalypse if it happens.
And yet most people out there, the adults, don't know. So the adults, you know what, older generation, just trust the younger generation.
If there is a zombie outbreak, if there ever is, trust your kids. Trust them.
What do we do?
You might want to take control because you're adults. You have experience. You do not have experience with zombies. We have experience with zombies. We know. But then again, if we have like the World War Z zombies, yeah, everyone's going to die.
Oh, we're done.
Yeah, it's over.
We're dead.
Just blow up the entire Earth.
Yeah,
nuke
it.
Just blow it up.
Nuke it all.
Nuke it. But, okay.
But yeah, but this pilot, all in all, it was boring. Will we still watch? Yes, we will still watch for the sake of this podcast.
Yeah.
We want to keep going with it. And if there is something interesting, we will bring it up. But
we
have a feeling we will not be bringing it up again until the finale. And even I think we're still going to be disappointed.
So we're going to definitely be watching to at least inform you if it's worth watching continually.
Right now,
like if
it's
you
not.
Can get past the pilot, because the pilot was
That was just a waste of 60 minutes.
I literally cannot get that time back in my life. I'd much rather be sitting at home doing nothing, staring at a wall, than watch that pilot again.
Magic Conch, should we watch the next episode of Fear the Walking Dead?
No.
The conch has spoken!
All hail the magic conch! Okay.
All right. Well, that was our last week on TV, so let's get into the news for the week. So, I'm not a big horror film person, but I wanted to bring this up anyway because he is known for his films and he's, you know, he was one of the best film directors out there. But Wes Craven has passed away at 76 after fighting brain cancer. I don't know how long he's had it, but he has recently passed away. We have all probably heard this in the last few days. So if you're listening to this podcast, you probably already knew that, but we wanted to talk about it anyway.
I mean, it's still a very sad thing because he did... I mean, the fact he made what we know as horror. I mean, he made the Scream movies. He made Nightmare on Elm Street.
Which I was going to bring up Nightmare on Elm Street because that's the only real horror... That's one of the few horror films I watched. Like, the only
A legit classic.
Yeah, like, I'm very picky with what I watch in horror. And I've watched Misery. I like that. I do like Carrie. That's another really good horror film.
Well,
classic.
The original. Yeah.
Yes, the original.
I have not seen the new one with Chloe Grace Moretz.
I saw most of it, and it wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad?
Yeah, you know how horror films are.
The remake that they did before this one. Wait, they had two remakes, didn't they?
I think
and
there was two.
And then Chloe's. Okay.
No, there was one remake, and then a new one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the first remake, no. It was crap.
Yeah, no. Yeah, just watch the original, and if you want, watch the new one. It's not terrible. It's fine.
And you know you're watching the right one if the girl is blonde-haired.
Yes.
The original.
Yeah.
Because the second one, she was a ginger.
But I've always been fascinated with Wes Craven's film style, especially in the original. Now, granted, his first big film was Last House on the Left in 1972, and that was what he was most noted for, which Kurt and I discussed this before. I've never watched the original, and I haven't watched the new one. Even though the one big death scene that I know from the original or the new film was the guy's head being microwaved and basically exploding. And I forget where I saw that, but I saw it in passing, and I was like, all right, that's all I need to see. I'm done.
Yeah.
I have no interest in seeing
it. I do feel bad because I actually have wanted to watch the original Last House on the Left for a long time, but I've only ever seen the new one, and I've only seen about half of it because... Yeah. That movie, now, granted, I also only watched the unrated version, so maybe the theatrical would have been better, because the unrated version, the first time watching it, Jacob suggested it to me. He's like, dude, this is a good movie. So I'm watching this movie. Already, there was some really, really bad scenes that, well, not like bad in, like, it was a terrible acting or something. I mean, bad as in it was gut-wrenching.
Right.
Like,
it's like hard to watch.
I felt sick to my stomach. Like, there was a scene where the main
villain. Well, the big rape villain scene.
Well, I'll get to that.
Okay.
the main villain, like, there was a scene, like, when he first broke out, like, he got out of the police car.
Yeah.
He killed the officer driving, and he, like, showed his, like, the picture of his kids that he had on his dash or something.
Yeah.
And he held it right in front of him. He's like, this is the last thing you're ever going to see. And I was just like, oh, God. And he's choking him to
this
death.
This is kind of dark.
Like, I was like, this is, okay. But they, like, kind of drug it out to make you really feel it. And I didn't like that. So, but then once you get to that, okay, because you end up meeting the main girl and everything, and then they go into the forest. Like, there's a whole big issue with this.
Yeah.
The one girl gets killed, and the main girl gets raped.
Yeah.
That rape scene felt so real to me. I literally thought that it was actually happening, and I got so sick to my stomach, I had to turn off the movie.
Yeah.
And I turned off the movie. Packed it up, gave it back to Jacob, and he's like, did you finish it? And I'm like, no.
No.
I'm like, and he's like, are you going to? I'm like, never. I'm never going to finish it. And he told me the rest of the movie. He told me about the microwave scene. He said it was amazing, and I'm like, that actually sounds pretty cool. And he's like, so never? I'm like, no, never. No. That scene, it kind of got, like, stuck in my brain. Like, I mean, I don't know if it was in the original as well that Wes Craven did. If he did, if it is the same, I don't know how I'll feel about it, about seeing that again, because it was mind-numbing to me.
Wes Craven's original film was well-known for being that kind of graphic kind of content, and people were like, that was the shock factor of the day. But then it seems like with this new one, their graphic content, they were trying to push the boundaries again. Like, okay, if this is going to be a remake, let's really make it as much shock factor as we can. And
but this one just stepped over the line.
Yeah, and everybody has their own levels of graphic content. I personally would not be watching most of the films Wes Craven probably did, or even these remakes. They don't really interest me as far as the content. But like I said before, I praise Nightmare on Elm Street for being the way they filmed it in the day. Not only for introducing us to Johnny Depp, of course, because otherwise we wouldn't have Jack Sparrow.
Exactly.
Just saying. But I always loved that scene where Johnny Depp gets sucked into the bed. And then the way they filmed the blood coming out of the bed going to the ceiling, when we see it like, you know, normally, but the camera was flipped. And the way they had it where they poured it out of the bed and it was just going to the ground, but it looked like it was going to the ceiling.
Such a good scene, right?
That scene alone was like, wow, this is like, just the quality of the filming, the cinematography, that was really interesting to watch. And in its day, that was like, wow, that was something really cool to behold.
Oh, yeah.
So, but also, fun fact about Wes Craven, he apparently filmed pornos under various aliases.
Well, I guess it makes sense now why there was a rape scene in the new one.
Yeah.
Kind of.
The content?
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Oh, God.
But in honor of Wes Craven, if you are a Wes Craven fan or you never really watched his films, there are 4 of his films on Netflix right now. Nightmare on Elm Street, of course. There is the new Nightmare movie where he came back to the series back around 1994, I believe, and that was his next installment, even though there was like however many films before that. And then Scream and Scream 2, which I would like to watch Scream, because I hear that's like actual horror, but it's also a parody of horror movies. That's what I heard. I could be wrong.
No, that's like Scary Movie.
Well, yeah, that's the parody of the parody.
Okay, well, no. Just if you get a chance to watch Scream, it's actually really, really good. The original, at least. And I mean, I can't say that the sequels are bad per se. It's just,
I don't know,
they're not that amazing or anything. Yeah. So,
all right, well, let's move on. It's official. Bill Murray will be appearing in the new Ghostbusters movie.
Yay!
Yes,
Bill Murray. Call? You amazing man, you.
Who are you gonna call? Bill Murray. Always call Bill Murray if you have a chance. So in an interview with Vulture, he actually... it's always appropriate to put the Ghostbusters theme wherever you are. But in an interview with Vulture, he elaborated on why he had the change of heart, because we knew for years he was flip-flopping. So this is what he said, quote, I thought about it for a very long time, like many, many months. No, that's not right. I was seriously thinking about this for years, really. It kept eating at me, and I really respect those girls, the actresses in the new movie.
Yeah.
And then I started to feel like if I didn't do this movie, maybe somebody would write a bad review or something, thinking there was some sort of disapproval on my part. End quote. And in a sense, yeah, we want to see a new Ghostbusters movie, and we want to have Bill Murray there because he really did kind of make the movie.
Mm.
But at the same time, I can respect Bill Murray with what he's saying, where he's like, he wants the girls to have their limelight and do their own thing. He doesn't want to be there and overshadow, like, cast the shadow over them. Like, I'm Bill frickin' Murray.
It's Bill frickin' Murray.
Yeah. And Dan Aykroyd has already confirmed that he's going to have a small cameo in it, but it seems like Bill's character is going to be slightly larger than a cameo, where he's going to be a character who is out to disprove or debunk the new Ghostbusters, which confirms that this is not part of the same universe of the original films, which is really upsetting.
See, I'm just glad that out of all the women they could choose in the world to be in the Ghostbusters, they choose Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig. Those two are two of the funniest funniest women I have ever seen in any movie.
I love Kristen Wiig, and I really like Kate McKinnon. Her work on SNL is very funny. And she's kind of perfect. She has that.
I have not seen much of her, though.
Oh, her stuff is fantastic.
Yeah, I haven't.
She's exactly like Kristen Wiig. I mean, Kristen Wiig is slightly better. But with Melissa McCarthy, I think I've already told you, though, her kind of comedy, the way they pitch her movies today is the same thing. It's like, here's an overweight woman. She's trying to do skinny things. What?
If you get a chance, though, just watch Bridesmaids.
No, yeah.
Seriously, that movie will just clear up all of Melissa McCarthy's like comedy.
And that was also directed by Paul Feig, who's directing the new Ghostbusters.
Exactly.
So
that's why I am excited.
No, I've been wanting to watch it.
Originally, I was not okay with it, about it being women. Like, not being sexist.
Nothing wrong with you women. No, we love you women.
It's not being sexist. It's more like, I just wanted the original Ghostbusters back again. But then again, like...
Well...
It's still... Yeah.
It's getting its own identity. Like, I appreciate what the... I don't know if you saw the other pictures from the set, but they're... They don't really have proton packs now. They have these, like... They kind of look like Dustbusters, almost. Like, really extended Dustbusters.
It's proton pack. Version 2.
Right, and also notice
Mark
their
2.
Notice their new Ecto-mobile.
I didn't see it.
Okay, well, you know how the original was like a 50s car, right?
Yeah.
This is now an 80s car. And this new movie...
Well, that's because that's our version of old.
Yeah, that's deep.
I know, isn't that sad?
Because the 50s car in the original movie was 30 years before. Now we have this new movie, and the 30 years before would be about 1980s.
Yeah.
So I think...
It's our version of old.
Man.
Isn't that sad?
Kids are going to go to this new movie and they're going to be like, man, that's so old. And it's really not. I was born in 88.
I know, right?
So I was sad. A late 80s baby. I was a 90s kid. High five for 90s kid.
Yeah.
Yes. We're the best.
Yeah.
Seriously.
We grew up with all that. Kenan and Kel. Freaking Rocko's Modern Life.
Legends of Hidden Temple.
Oh, my God.
I still want to order all of the shirts.
Guts.
you pulled that out of nowhere.
Dude, I miss Nick Guts.
That should be like a soundbite where we're just in the middle of recording one of our podcasts. Guts! Hey,
Guts.
Kurt. Hey, Kurt. You know what? You ever know that thing that you can buy buy down the street at the store? You ever hear of it?
What?
I think they call it Guts!
But yeah, dude, oh my God. I miss all that stuff. Like I still wish... Like, I saw a meme the one day about how, like, it was a picture of Patrick saying, why don't we take all the good 90s shows and put it on its own channel?
I'd be watching
that
channel.
And just do reruns.
24/7.
Dude, that'd be the only channel I'd ever subscribe to. And I'd be watching it all day.
All right, but the new Ghostbusters comes out July 15th, 2016, which doesn't feel that far away.
But yeah, I am excited for that.
Exciting. All right. The Iron Giant Signature Edition will be experiencing a limited theatrical release across the country, showing on September 30th and October 4th.
Yay!
I love the Iron
Giant. I cannot wait. I want to go see that in theaters.
It's going to be awesome. And Vin Diesel is very, very happy about this, and he says, quote, I have been very lucky to have played so many interesting characters, but one of the first and one of my favorites is the Iron Giant. But he adds a little thing. He says, P.S., don't be surprised if you hear WB announce a sequel. Can you imagine a sequel to that film?
As long as it's not an origin story for the giant, like saying, like, this is the planet he came from. No, I don't want to know
that.
I don't want to know that stuff.
It's an origin story we didn't ask for.
I want to see a future for the giant, because that ending where you realize, like, you thought he died, and that was by far so sad. Where he like he's like, "Be who you choose to be," and
Superman.
Oh. And he just blew up. I literally teared up as a kid. I was so sad.
You teared up in the heart.
But at that last moment, you find out he's like what in the Himalayas or something in another country,
and all his pieces are coming together. Yeah. It's so
and
cool.
Then he, like you see his pieces come together, and then he smiles. I was just like, "Oh no, he's alive." I want to see what happens after that. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see some stupid prequel because we've gotten way too many of those.
And when we discuss this, I'm thinking there's elements I want to see where Hogarth is now in his 20s because we're the ones going to be going to see this in theaters again.
And I'll never forget his name. Just say
Hogarth Hughes.
Hogarth Hughes.
It's the best.
Well, that's because like the guy, like the what?
Yeah, the detective or whatever he was.
It was like Ken Mandel or something like that.
Mansley.
Ken Mansley.
Mansley.
Ket Mansley. I forget exactly, but I still remember because he was driving away, and he's like, "Man, who names their son Hogarth?"
Yeah, it's the best.
And when he said that, I was like,
"It's true."
Point. I've never met someone named Hogarth, but still.
But I would also like to see another robot come down, from the sky and
something
attack
to really put it at its limits,
or maybe another one from his home planet, not an origin, but. No. Another one to relate to,
exactly.
And the creature's like, "Wait, what? I'm not only one."
And maybe like it's evil, like the Iron Giant was supposed to be evil, and this new one is evil, and it's trying to tell him to be evil. But at the very end, he's like, "No, you need to be good." And I mean, it sounds cliche, but if they do it right, I would be very happy.
I could
with
see
that.
Good things
it,
with that.
It sounds cliche, but it's what I would expect, and it's what I would like.
Yeah.
Because it's the Iron Giant.
It's the Iron Giant, man.
Dude, I feel like watching that movie right now.
Let's dig it out.
We should totally watch that.
Let's do it right after we're done.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So, for those of you, if you want us to comment more about it, we will comment about it the next day.
And we will go see it when it comes out. And I'm talking about the sequel.
Oh, seriously? If they make a sequel, I will be there midnight premiere.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm liking talking about Iron Giant, but at the end of the day, I really don't have the money to go see it. I'm sorry.
No.
Sorry, WB. But I hope you get the sequel. All right, let's get on to the film review, Maggie.
Dad, you've protected me all my life. Now it's my turn to protect you. There is life with you, not with me.
So this week's film review, Maggie, is an Arnold Schwarzenegger film, but not the typical Arnold Schwarzenegger film. This is actually a dramatic piece. And before we get into it all, out of 5, Kurt, what'd you think?
Maggie? Man, it's a really tough call because, like, you can't just view it on as a zombie movie, and you can't view it as just an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. You got to view it as an artistic film.
Well, yeah, it's an independent film, and with independent films, you kind of have a smaller budget, but you also have a more, dramatic story or a more poignant story about one simple fact.
And you know what? I've had to really, really think about it, and I'm saying it just barely cut the line of being a 4, because. Uh-huh. I was going to give it a 3.5. Like, I was always really content with giving it a 3.5. But, yeah. I mean, like, if I could, I'd give it a 3.75. Yeah. Because, I mean,
there's no quarter scores on this show.
Yeah, I know we don't do quarters. So, like, that's why it's a little difficult for me. And I say it just barely made it to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a very artistic film, and that's what I loved about it.
Yeah. I'm saying a 3.5 because I think it is a simple film, and there's really nothing inherently bad about it. There really isn't.
Exactly.
I didn't dislike anything. I think what would have given me a higher score is the difference of the plot and where it was going to go. Because I was expecting, because I knew this wasn't your typical Arnold movie.
It's not.
I would love to see an Arnold movie shooting up zombies because amazing to watch.
God. Yes.
That is the B movie that we never got out of.
Why wasn't he the star of World War Z?
Now, that would have been more entertaining.
Exactly.
Sorry, Brad Pitt.
Sorry, man.
I didn't like that movie at all, even though Doctor Who was in it.
Yeah, but still.
But with this film, I think I saw a different plot in my mind. I thought because it was his daughter and, you know, she had a virus, so we all knew that's where it was going to go. I was picturing that he was going to be like that father that's like, okay, I'm going to find a cure for my daughter, so I'm going to trek across country and I'm going to find it and realize that he can't find it. But that wasn't in here at all. This was a simple tale of how is he going to deal with putting down his daughter? Like, she only has, what, at most 2 weeks?
No, I think they said about 3 weeks. They said the average was 3 weeks, but some are quicker and some are longer.
Yeah.
And so, but we never really get a time frame in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, we just see it progressing. That's right. All.
And all we need to know is that it happens soon enough. But
yeah.
But at the beginning, she's infected, and as the movie goes on, he's just constantly, like, he's coming across other characters and situations where he's dealing with stuff, and these other characters represent something he's going through, such as the neighbor mother who locked her son and she didn't do it. The brother locked the daughter in, and he went in and became a zombie with her, basically.
Yeah.
So that way the mom didn't have to do anything, but they came out. And then Arnold killed them because they were threatening him and his daughter.
Exactly.
And then the mother basically said she was basically reverbing back to him what he was thinking about his own daughter. Like, she's like, could you really do it, more or less?
I mean, I'll say this. What I really loved about this movie, like, you could literally take out the zombie fact of this movie and throw in, say, cancer.
Yeah.
And it would And it would be just as good. Like, I mean, like, obviously you wouldn't have the killing of those two, but still.
That was inherently what the story was.
Yeah, it was pretty much like a person dealing with cancer, but they made it unique by saying it was a zombie virus.
Yeah.
So, honestly, this situation, I mean, it really makes you feel. Like, that's why it's one of those movies where it has very little dialogue. You kind of just go through the emotions and you feel the movie. You feel the movie. You don't just watch the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's everything built together. It's the dialogue, the very simple dialogue. It's the music. It's the build-up.
These are one of the kind of films, like, independent films are usually the ones that make you think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't just think, you feel.
You walk away with the experience of it.
Yes.
Rather than, like big-budget action films where you just watch and you're done.
And I love the fact that you don't just feel for the girl, or you don't just feel for Arnold. You feel for all of them. You understand their situation, and you understand exactly how they would feel in that situation.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a heartbreaking feeling, like, in every scene of that movie.
Yeah, and I think as far as the tone and everything, it was all pretty on point. I think the focus here is the acting, which is surprising because you wouldn't consider Arnold the actor to use.
Yeah.
It was an interesting choice using him, and I think they were doing it for the name.
Yeah.
Probably, because otherwise they probably wouldn't have had a big release, and it really wasn't that big of a release anyway.
No, not really.
But having Abigail Breslin was enough for me to watch it because she's... You know, she was nominated in Little Miss Sunshine. She was the youngest person ever to win. Or not. I don't think she won. Did she win? I know she was nominated for Little Miss Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a fantastic film. If you haven't watched it, go see it. But with Maggie, she was fantastic all the same. I was very convinced by her by being this dying character. But with Arnold, I'm conflicted. I think it's because of Arnold I couldn't give it a 4. I feel like he did what he could do. He's not much in the acting category, and he certainly couldn't change his accent. I feel like there are directors out there that have tried to change his accent and were just like, never mind.
But then again, when you think about it, how long has he been in this country?
I don't know. Since he was 30 years at least.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, how has he not lost his accent?
Well, no, remember I brought up in Family Guy when they had that cutaway where it was...
The kindergarten cop?
Yeah, it was like they said... Something is as incomplete as Arnold without his accent. So they cut to Kindergarten Cop, and the kid goes, "It could be a tumor." And it's the most plain voice coming out of Arnold going, "It's not a tumor." You can't have Arnold without the accent, really. And
it's true.
By now, it's just like we expect it.
And honestly, I think he would. I don't know. Half the time, I think he's faking it because of how long he's been in this country.
But that's his natural accent.
It's true. But then anybody who has an accent from, like, a different part of the world, once they move away and they've been somewhere else for years, they kind of lose the accent and kind of go to the new one.
Yeah.
But they still keep the old, but not so much.
I'm really happy to be here in America.
It's just, like, it's so thick.
You're my daughter, Maggie.
Half the time
I don't want you to die.
I don't know. Half the time I think he's faking. But still. But... another
thing that you think he's faking his natural accent.
I don't know.
Is it because it just feels cartoony?
No, it's because that's what we know. Yeah. And he's doing it because that's what we know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to mention the best part of the entire movie, the most heartbreaking scene, obviously, was the end.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that scene where you see Arnold sitting on the chair.
Yeah.
And she comes downstairs when she is on the verge of being a full-fledged zombie, if not already.
Yeah.
That scene was so beautiful because it was tense because you're like, what's going to happen? Like, we were expecting one of two things. One, she was going to eat him. Two, he was going to shoot her.
Right.
It was one or the other. Now, we were expecting those, but at the same time, like, we were watching the movie, and we all noticed that, like, Arnold was sleeping on the chair because mm-hmm. he was expecting it. Well, he was just tired, so he was sleeping. I actually noticed when he was sitting on the chair and she came down. When she came right up to him, he started gripping the gun.
Yeah.
And when I saw that for a brief second mm-hmm. where you see him grip the gun, I knew, oh my God, he's awake. Now I'm expecting him to do something, and I'm like, wait, he's not going to do anything. And I'm like, wow, that is him, like, deciding on what he's going to do. He's going to do nothing. He would much rather die than have to kill his own daughter.
Yeah.
And that really got to me in my heart. That's why I gave this movie a 4. Like, yeah. That kind of feeling.
Yeah, I think it was just because it was simplistic in nature. Not that a simplistic film is bad. Yeah. I mean, by no means. It is a good emotional film. I think as far as, is it rewatchable?
I'd watch it again.
I would,
yeah.
But I don't think it'd be one I'm running to. But it was definitely, I think it was definitely an experience to check out, to see Arnold test out his acting chops again after all these years.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, like, one of my favorites he ever did was True Lies. I don't know if you've ever saw that. That's hilarious. Yeah. But it's a good action film at the same time. But that's one where he, like, you have, like, Kindergarten Cop. He did his film in that, and that was funny, and it was good times. And
then we have movies like Total Recall.
I love Total Recall.
Who doesn't? Seriously, that and
another
movie.
Another one that, like, isn't one of his most popular is The Sixth Day.
And I loved
The Sixth Day. That is one of my favorite films he did.
Wait, what about Twins?
Twins. Who doesn't love Twins?
Last Action Hero.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I love that movie. That is.
Oh my God.
It is so good.
Yes.
If you haven't seen Last Action Hero, go see Last Action Hero.
That is a good Arnold movie.
It is
movie.
So above and beyond being. It feels comic booky. It feels like an action, and it's comedy. It's got everything. That is an entertaining movie.
Yes.
I love it. There's, like, probably one or two things I don't like.
Yeah.
And everything else is just spot on. It is so entertaining.
But and then we see all these movies with Arnold, but then we get Maggie, and we're just like, huh.
Interesting.
Okay. And I have to say, Arnold did a really good job.
He did do a good job. Really for what he can do, he did do a good job. And I was impressed. I wouldn't say I was, like, surprised. I was just like, okay, not bad.
Like, this is a movie I'd honestly suggest, like, if you get a chance to, like, stream it or something or get on Netflix, definitely, or even rent it because it's a good movie.
Check it out.
Yeah, it's definitely a good movie to sit down and watch if you like zombies, if you like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you want to see Arnold Schwarzenegger in a very different role than what you're normally used to.
Yeah,
this is definitely one to get to.
Yeah,
it really is.
This will tide you over until he actually does a zombie film where he's shooting up a lot of zombies, and it would be awesome.
Yes.
Oh my God,
we'll get it one day. Just give it time.
I just can't wait. Well, that's our review of Maggie, so let's get on to the Ask the Nerd segment, which I have a simple question here today. Since we're talking about zombies, everybody loves zombies. Everybody loves the idea of the zombie apocalypse. I mean, we don't really... We like the idea, but we wouldn't really like it actually happening.
I would, but I wouldn't.
It's one of those torn...
I'm kind of like, I really want it to happen, but at the same time, when you really think about it, I really don't want it to happen.
Just remember Zombieland, Kurt. Cardio.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta do a lot of cardio.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Kurt.
But trust
I think we need to hit the
treadmill. But trust me, when it comes to zombie apocalypse, I'm much smarter than it about you. I don't know English right now.
That's okay. I have a hard time talking. Tonight, I'm actually surprised at how well I'm talking.
Yeah, I know, right?
The last few episodes, I've been like...
I think I would last longer in a zombie apocalypse than you, Corey. No offense. Not based on cardio.
I've been doing a lot of bike riding.
Not based on cardio. It's more based on knowledge of zombies.
Okay, well then let's put your knowledge in my cardio and
we can't
that
really
work.
Yeah,
one of us would die pretty quick.
No.
Oh, well. But the question for the day. What would your weapon of choice be in the zombie apocalypse and why?
Okay. Honestly, this is coming from knowing about zombies. Say it's like a couple zombies, like two or three, maybe four are coming near me. And now it all depends on many situations. Like one, is it a George Romero zombie? Is it World War Z zombies?
Where we'd all be dead.
Yeah, no. If it's World War Z zombies, there is no weapon. We're all gonna die. Like,
yeah, we're dead.
Mankind
nuke
is
the
done.
World. Nuke
Man,
the world.
Yes, nuke it. Because mankind is over. If it's 28 Days Later zombies, you need to protect yourself in every way. I mean, riot shields, masks, everything. Like, you can't just use a simple weapon or something. You got to protect yourself rather than try to kill zombies. But if it's like George Romero zombies or Walking Dead zombies, if it's just like a few zombies right there, like, say, three or four, whatever's to my right near me, I could use anything to fight off a zombie.
Okay.
You can pretty much just kick them.
All right, okay, so since you're being this detailed, okay, let's say this. Walking Dead zombies, what would you use?
Anything that's around.
Okay.
Like,
how about
anything?
How about if you're on the road?
Okay, on the road where like you only have one weapon as a main weapon,
yeah.
I'd probably use a machete. But if you have a large group of zombies, it can depend. Like, you could use a crowbar, which is very, very handy, which I know is yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you would use a
crowbar.
Yeah.
All around, crowbar is just a useful tool.
It is.
It doesn't bend. You can pry open doors. You can hit zombies over the head. You can bash them in, and it won't break.
But the thing is, it takes too much strength to use it. Like, you need to have real good strength to do it endurance.
Work out in your downtime.
No, I mean, think about it. Like, you can't just kill a zombie in one hit with a crowbar over the head. You didn't destroy the brain. You just, like, knocked them off to the side. You gotta literally start bashing them until
they
die.
Okay, well, bash it once across the head to get it on the ground, and then take the pointy end and stab it.
Yeah, one, like, that's two. But you still gotta have the strength to do that.
I mean, that takes a lot more strength than, I'll be doing a lot of working out,
like,
then.
For me, like, a machete, all you have to do is come straight down on the top of the head. Like, you can easily just cut.
But then you need to sharpen the dull blade.
Yeah, just get a sharpening block.
Okay, what if you don't have time to do that?
Sharpen on gravel, rock,
what if it breaks? What if it breaks?
If it breaks, I have another one.
What if you only had one?
Okay, I would never leave my house with only one weapon in a zombie apocalypse. You do not leave. You might as well just kill yourself in a zombie apocalypse if you only have
just
one
give
weapon.
Up.
Just give up.
Give up, you'll respawn.
Seriously, like, my main weapon... Okay, because everybody knows one fact. You can't use a gun in a zombie apocalypse when you want to be stealthy.
Yeah.
Because one... Zombies are attracted to two things, light and sound.
And in every zombie movie, there's always someone who's stupid. And it's
exactly.
Really irritating. I want a realistic zombie film where they're protected and they don't do stupid stuff.
Yeah, because seriously, like, Walking Dead zombies, they're not that terrifying. You can walk away from them.
Yeah.
Like, okay, a large group, they'd be, like, rushing and it would look terrifying. But you still have time to relax. Like, you can be like, okay, I got this. Just jog. You don't need to, like, sprint and get all tired and everything.
Yeah.
And then just one lazy zombie who was just lying on the ground, you just didn't notice, ends up killing you because you were all tired out. Like, no, you gotta think.
In,
like,
a zombie apocalypse, be precautious.
Yes. Always be precautious and don't wear yourself out. Like, it doesn't matter what weapon you use in a Walking Dead version of a zombie apocalypse. It doesn't matter because those zombies you can easily fend off.
It's just when they're in a huge horde, you gotta take the time. And
yeah,
you gotta
take your time and think. Really think.
And always watch your back.
Yes.
Because a lot of them come up from behind you.
Now, obviously, some zombies can smell you. Like there are certain shows and movies where they smell you. Like, even in The Walking Dead, they clearly show that. Like, and then you got, like, the book. I forget which book it was. I think it was The Survival Guide.
By Max Brooks.
Where they say, like, they actually sense the aura of humans being alive rather than dead. They can sense the aura. So there's situations where it depends.
Oh, also in addition to Maggie, that's one another thing I liked in that film was that she smelled her aunt and like as food, not as a human. She was like, what's cooking?
Yeah, like she was literally like just sitting in front of her and she's like, oh, what's dad cooking? And she's like, I don't know, I'll go find out. When she goes downstairs, she's like,
Nothing's cooking.
And she's like, I smell really good food. Like, she didn't say, I smell blood, I smell brains, I don't smell you.
She's like,
I smell food.
I smell pot roast. What's going on?
It's kind of like that. I thought that was what was interesting.
Yeah.
That it wasn't smelling her, it was smelling food.
Yeah, I like that. It kind of separated its own identity as a zombie film.
That's what it literally shows, that zombies are based on instinct, animal instinct, where it's literally food and breathing. Food and breathing.
So back to the question. So your weapon of choice is a machete. Mine's a crowbar.
Pretty much, it's very durable. Like, I mean, machetes can last a long time, and it's not like you're not gonna find another one along the way.
Still, I love the samurai swords Michonne
has. Oh my god, now
that's my favorite. That would make me feel badass in a zombie apocalypse.
Seriously, a samurai sword is probably a very, very good weapon to use because it can slice easily.
Slice a dice!
You can literally cut off heads like it's no tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it would not wear away that quickly.
Yeah.
You still gotta sharpen it,
but
it wouldn't go down. It wouldn't dull as quickly as a machete would. I'm just saying.
Just saying.
But yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Those are our weapons for the choice, and that is our show. Thank you all for listening with us today. Well, you look like you're ready to say something.
No.
You just kind of like went into the mic. You're like,
sorry.
No, I'm just really happy. You guys can subscribe to us through podomatic.com. You can also subscribe through the iTunes radio store using the podcast app. Don't forget to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at JustNerdStuff1. Don't forget to get involved. If you are subscribed to us through iTunes, don't forget to give us a rating and review. Throw us a comment on our pages or ask a question for our Ask the Nerd segment. If we use it, we'll give you a shout out. Don't forget to give us suggestions because our show is shaped by you. And as always, share our podcast around because we need to spread the nerdiness. Here's our fact of the day. Zombies in Chinese myth are called the Kang Quang Shi, which is known as the, quote, hopping corpse. While they have human bodies, they do not have independent thought or free will. In some Chinese myths, and this is what I really like about it, zombies are dead people who die far from home and must walk back to their home villages before they can rest in peace. So it's kind of like half-living purgatory.
Man.
It actually makes it sound like really nice. It's like... where's the explanation for them eating other people?
Animal instinct.
Is it, or are they just like tired? They're like, man, I want to get home. Like, I gotta have a meal on the way.
If you're not thinking and you're basing everything off of animal instinct, what is your first thought? Eat. You gotta survive, so you gotta eat.
Why do zombies have to eat people? Can't they just eat McDonald's on the way? Like we're about to do in a moment.
Well, I don't know. It all depends on the situation. I mean, some always do the rabies thing, where it's a rabies virus. Like, some do that. So it could be anything.
In the middle of the night, I'm like... Mm.
But I actually really like that fact. It's very interesting.
Big Mac.
Stay nerdy, Inverse.